You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. At that time there was a great persecution against the church which was in Jerusalem. And it was all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people, with one accord, gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits cried with loud voice, came out of the many that were possessed with him, and many taken with palsy, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in that city. There was a certain man named Simon, which before in the same city was a sorcerer, who bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." And to him they had regard, because of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondering, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, "Give me also this power, that whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter said unto him, "The money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity." Then answered Simon and said, "Pray ye the Lord for me, and that none of these things which you've spoken come upon me." And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, in the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and setting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Peter and Philip, and said unto them, "I pray thee, of whom speaks this prophet? Of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came into certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and he went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word. It's grace for Christ Jesus' sake. In his name we ask it. Amen. That we have, and to thank you for another opportunity to minister with the word. At the same time, we are always recognize the fact that we are very needy, and therefore we look to you for grace in a very special way now, as you cleanse us and sanctify us to your purpose, taking us aside from the ordinary cares of this life, and for this little while now, that you might shower down your blessing upon us. Be pleased, if you would, to rebuke the evil one as you honor your great Son. And we'd be very careful to thank you for the grace to follow. Thank you, Father, for attending these things, because we ask these graces in the name and for the sake of Christ Jesus. Amen. In our chapter today, as it begins, you see, following the stoning of Stephen to death, reminded that Paul was the one who gave the consenting sign for the man's death. And not only that, but he continued to raise havoc in the church, so much so that he even got permission to go follow up to carry them to the city of Damascus. In verse 5, we begin a parenthesis that carries us through to chapter 9. And you'll notice chapter 9 begins with "and." It should proceed after verse 4 of chapter 8. Therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the word. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening, and so on. So our lesson today has to do with a parenthetical couple of stories that intervened in that time. As a result of the dispersion of God's people from Jerusalem, except the apostles were reminded of that, they stayed in Jerusalem. They still had hopes of winning, I suppose, the rulers. In any case, the rest of them were scattered abroad, and it begins in Samaria. You'll recall that in the first chapter, our Lord had given him instruction on how to carry the word out. It had begun at Jerusalem, and the first 7 chapters deals with that aspect of the witness. Now the Holy Spirit is beginning to move them out into a larger field, Samaria and Judah. And it reminds us quite frequently of our own life, how that when trouble comes, it's coming for a good reason. So instead of feeling downcast about your condition or circumstances, look up and say, thank you, Lord. Teach me what's going on. There's a real blessing at hand if you take that spirit about you. And I say it because God demonstrates it and promises it in his word. Then I know, lastly, but not the most important, by experience, it actually happens that way. In the times of great difficulty, the times of trouble, that's where we learn the real lessons of life. God has it for a reason. Nothing is for no reason. God never wastes anything. In any case, we find Philip, one of the 7 selected, going down to Samaria. He didn't go down to philosophize. He went down to preach Christ. And the result was that the people responded. And there were a great revival there, or I should say a great ingathering there. They weren't revived, they were ingathered. They were dead. And many miracles, unclean spirits, and everything else great signs and wonders. And a great number responded. Amongst them was one named Simon, a sorcerer. Incidentally, the word sorcerer, Greek word, is our English word, pharmacy, comes from it. So drugs are nothing new in the field of the occult. The old witch doctors are good examples of that. And this man was such a one. But he realized that this was something that was unusual. And it says in verse 13 that he believed too. It's most noticeable that when Peter preached at Pentecost, he said, "Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." These people did not. Why? Turn to John chapter 4 and verses 20 through 22. It's the story of the woman of Samaria. Perhaps we should roll back and read a little few verses before that. In verse 7, John 4, 7. "There comes a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said, 'Now give me to drink.' If Sabbath is going away to the city by meat, saith the woman of Samaria, 'How is it that I, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.' Jesus answered and said, 'If thou knewest the gift of God, who did it say to thee, "Give me to drink," that thou wouldst have asked of him, he would give thee living water.' The woman said to him, 'Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob?'" Now, she was an Israelite, but she wasn't a Jew. That's important to remember that, because two southern tribes were considered Jews. Northern tribes were not. The importance of that is this. Verse 19. "The woman said to him, 'Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say, as you Jews, in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you should neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. For you worship know not what you know. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew.'" Now here was this woman from Samaria who was a child of Jacob, but she was not a Jew. Judah is to be the ruling tribe. Jerusalem is to be the city of the great king. The Samaritans were enemies, rebellious to that truth. So when Philip preached and they received Christ as their Savior, before the Holy Spirit could be given, the apostles from Jerusalem, see, Philip was not an apostle. Only the apostles had the authority to bind and release. Remember that, Peter? "I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. What's yours, you'll bind on earth, shall be bound in heaven." You see the reason now for Peter and John going down to Samaria. They had to confirm that these people really were converted and recognized that Jesus was to be the King of Kings, and the city was to be Jerusalem, where the Jews would set up, the tribe of Judah, the king would set up on the throne of David. They had to recognize that. See, everything is done in order. The minute they agreed to it, what did they do? They laid their hands on him. That's what always, when you find in the Bible people laying hands on it, means that they are in agreement, in accord. The minute they did, what happened? The Holy Spirit came. It's that quick. Now this old ex-sorcerer, he saw that, you know. He said, man, give me this power to lay hands on, so I can lay it on people's hands. And Peter said, your money perish with you. But one thing he noticed about Saucer when he said that, I notice. Verse 23, I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. The minute that he was rebuked of Peter, he had to take place in his life what happens in your life. When you openly, willfully, rebelliously sin against God, what happens to you? You get down in the ball of all of bitterness, you see what I mean? Now that wasn't the case of Ananias and Sapphira. They just stood there with their mouth open, but they didn't acknowledge any regret whatsoever. And Peter said, "You pray." And this man said, "Well, you pray for me. I know that you're going to hear you. That's how his life was spared. This is the government of God in operation here. Remember that. To the heart that's contrite, God hears. But the heart that's haughty, no. Yeah. So this old sorcerer, one day you'll meet, Simon, he really believed, you see. Notice the apostles didn't stay. They just went back. On the way back, they preached on some villages on the way back. In the meantime, you know how different it is today. Here they're having a great ingathering of the lost. People coming to the saving knowledge of Christ. Big success. And all of a sudden the evangelist leaves, go down the desert to meet one man. Can you imagine them doing that today? They don't work that way, do they? The Holy Spirit spoke to this man, Philip. You go down to the way to go down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, charge of all her treasure, come to ship. I suspect that this man was a convert through some of the lineages. You remember the Queen of Sheba went to Ethiopian. She went to sit at the feet of Solomon. Haile Selassie, who died in our time, claimed to be of that royal lineage through the Queen of Sheba. Whether he was or not, I don't know. But we do know that just recently, several thousand black Jews came out of Ethiopia and were flown to Jerusalem. Probably just like this man here, you see, who came out as a result of conversion of this man, this Ethiopian. He was a man of authority. Notice, he was the treasurer, the queen, like the department of head of the cabinet member of our government. And you see, he'd come, notice, in verse 27, he'd come to Jerusalem to worship. What's an Ethiopian coming to Jerusalem to worship? That tells us that he was a proselyte. And you can see that he came away disappointed. And rightly so, because he's been reading, puzzled about the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which is a prophecy about the suffering Messiah. And these Jews he just came from had just killed the suffering Messiah. And they certainly weren't going to admit it. And so he came away brokenhearted, disappointed. It tells an awful lot about those people who quite frequently say, "Well, what about the man who never heard about Jesus Christ?" To the heart that wants to know, I assure you that even if you're in a remote desert with nobody to tell you anything, and God sees that, he will appoint a man to come see you wherever you are. So that no man's that. As Romans says, that when the world knew God, They did not acknowledge him as God. Because the visible things that are clearly seen reveal God in his majesty, you see. So they're without excuse. And the man in the darkest place of the desert, all alone, that wants to know, God sees that. He says his eyes run to and fro throughout the universe. He doesn't miss a thing. No one can ever say, well, God passed me by. No, he didn't. You profess to be a wise man. That's the reason. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness. That's why they don't want to know. They profess themselves to be wise and they become fools. Just recently, we had a decision by 9 men on the Supreme Court to tell us that we can't pray in school. We can have a minute of meditation. Let me tell you, I'd hate to be in those men's shoes. Because he is in the highest, is higher, and he observes. And their stewardship will require an accounting. They cannot plead ignorance. Because it says that they're without excuse whatsoever. Not only is this true of the 9 men who sat on that Supreme Court, but it's true of those men who sat in Washington, whom God has privileged them to be his ministers and continue to legislate an immoral government to us in America. When they have a birthright, that's just the opposite. They will give an account for their stewardship. Make no mistake about that. So when you feel bad about that, feel sorry for them. They're the ones that will pay in the long run. No man can do those things. And the reason they get away with it, you know why? This is a time in which God is dispensing grace. God's not mad at anybody. The terrorists that are breaking out all over this world. I was talking to my wife about that. I said, you know, it's a good thing I'm not president of the United States. I think I'd get on the television and I'd tell every government that's run by a Shiite that you've got 48 hours to meet with your cabinets and to tell those assassins to turn those people loose. Otherwise, you're not going to have a country left. We're going to wipe you out completely. Thank God he doesn't put me in that power. You see, I don't think they should be allowed to get away with these things. They've got some steady hands in Washington that see different than I do. Although I believe with all my heart that's really what ought to be done. But at the same time, I realize if he did that, he had to bring down judgment on this nation. And you know, I wish he would. I really do. They're not going to change anyway. It's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. The Bible tells us that. And you'll learn that on this tape tonight. You know, I'll tell you, truthfully, any day that you minister with the things that are truly scriptural, you're going to be so negative that nobody wants to talk to you. And the crowd gets smaller and smaller, not bigger and bigger. That tells me an awful lot, that a lot of the ministry going on today is not right before God, because it's done, that's what people want to hear. And our ministry is about as negative as you can get. That's a terrible thing to have to boast about that. But it's a fact of life. Well, Philip obeys and he goes down. And he gets there, verse 29, the Spirit speaks. That's another factor. The day when God rules to his own, they will hear a voice behind say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. See, there won't be no question about what you do. Everything marked off for you. Philip wasn't He didn't go down. Can you imagine a great success going on, a great revival and everything? He gets up and leaves it all, go down the desert all by himself. Everybody thinks he's crazy. He gets down there, he's looking around, and he sees this one fellow. He probably had some men with him because he was a pretty man of great importance. But anyway, he saw him at a distance, and the Spirit of God said, "That's the fellow. Go join yourself with him." So Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. He said, "You understand what you're reading?" He said, "No. How can I?" It reminds me, 10 men shall take hold of the skirt, who was a Jew, saying, "We'll go with him. We've heard that God is with you." That's the same reaction, see. Picture of a wonderful type here. You understand what you're reading? "No, I don't. How can I?" Here's the enlightenment God promises. Pour out of my spirit, you see. And this is the time. That's what Peter said on the day of Pentecost. It should come to pass in the last days that God will pour out of his spirit upon all flesh, even in Ethiopia. Now, it's interesting that we've had the Jew dealt with, and now a child of Ham. Shem and Ham. Two more chapters down the road, we're going to find a Japhetic Institute right off the bat. And all of them, notice, every one of them is a result of obedience, carrying out exactly what God said. Now they're in Judea and Samaria. They've left carrying out what God wants, you see. Everything ran right on schedule. Well, anyhow, he said, "How can I understand that? Somebody tell me." And the place of scripture which he read was this. If you're not familiar with the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, you sure ought to be. Have it read and reread, read it and reread it, until it just permeates your thinking. Because it's the most pertinent passage in all the Old Testament to describe the suffering Messiah. You can't miss it. It says he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And like a dumb lamb, a lamb dumb from his shears, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch said to Philip, "Who's he talking about? The prophet or himself? Or some other man?" And Philip then begins to preach to him, opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. You can see what he did. He took what the prophet said in Isaiah 53. He turned to the New Testament, or the things that were written at that time, which would be Matthew, Mark, and Luke, about all. And he began to point out to him the things that had been fulfilled, which had to do with the suffering Messiah. And when he got explained, they're driving along, and all of a sudden they come to an oasis in the desert. And he interrupts Philip. He said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And that tells us that he had explained to this Ethiopian that God was bringing together a royal priesthood. Peter writes about that. And a requirement, a prerequisite to that priesthood, was to be baptized with water, which was identified him with being clean as a vessel of God. And when he saw that oasis, he said, "Well, what hinders me from being baptized right now?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart," now note, your heart, "well, you may be." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God." He couldn't be much stronger than that, you see. "Yeah, I believe that." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. He went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, the baptized. I heard a preacher one time say, this proves it. It's immersion, because he says they came forth out of the water. Well, Philip did too, but he wasn't baptized, that's for sure. It doesn't prove a thing. It doesn't disprove it either. doesn't prove anything. It simply tells us the fact that both men were obedient, Philip in administering it and the eunuch in receiving it. And it spoke to the fact that the man was clean and ready as a vessel for God. And we've been baptized too with a greater thing. Jesus said, John said a greater baptism, which is of the Spirit, you see. And there is but one baptism today, and that's the Holy Spirit. If you haven't had that, the water doesn't mean very much. In that day, it was required because, you see, they were preparing for a royal priesthood. We're not being prepared for that at all. Now, and when they come up out of the water, the Spirit of God caught away Philip. Now imagine that today. Snatching him away. And where did he wind up? At Azotus on the coast. Now, he's over in the desert. Now, you got an idea in your map, in the map of your mind there. They're down in the desert of Gaza. And he winds up at the city of Azotus, which is on the coast. You see, under the government of God, if you had to get somewhere in a hurry, it isn't much trouble. All the miracles and signs, I don't see anybody taking off out of the way today, do you? This is comical, but you know, it was to them. Can you imagine when Peter and them were in jail, how all the jail doors were locked and everything, and guards were there, and they walked out. Didn't even know it. See, that's not natural, that's supernatural. And that's what it to be like. And it says the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Here it happened. And Philip was found at Azotus, passing through, he preached unto him in all the cities till he came to Caesarea, as the government of the Roman government was there. That's where the governor lived. We pick up there next week. I say this is a parenthesis in what happened with Paul's persecution. Next week we will meet Paul on the road to Damascus, what happened to him. It picks up the story just where the 8th chapter left off in the 4th verse. Father God, again, we thank you for the record and for the faithfulness of your word to the reality of what happened in those days and what a contrast it is today. And people still talk about this as if it was in our time. How blind can you be? Lord, we thank you for the little light we have. We pray that we'll truly be grateful and get the word out as to what our calling is, just as they were zealous for their calling. May the Holy Spirit cause us to be zealous for our calling. Whatever that may be, we'll be faithful. It is required of a steward that he be that. Thank you for attending these things, Father, that our efforts may not be in vain, but that they will accomplish your purpose. And this for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we ask it. Amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.